Okay, good. I guess that way. Good morning to all of you.
Good morning.
Nice to follow Joshua and Caleb. That's pretty good. I mean, that's a great story and great for us individually, great for us as a church too, because it's always necessary for us to follow God by faith, right? Not by sight. We often look at the outward and look at the circumstances, and we're often dismayed by the circumstances of our lives or more broadly. But God is greater, and God took that very small group of people and brought them into the promised land. This morning, let me introduce myself briefly. The reason why I'm here is because my son got a job at a place called Materion over near Elmore. Is that correct? And then he was somewhat hired under Chris Malinowski. So I heard a lot about Chris Malinowski, and then later on I heard, oh, they needed a preacher over there, and I thought, well, maybe I should help out, because I'm a retired preacher. I was a foreign missionary for 20 years in land called California. But I'm originally from Ohio. I'm from Northwest Ohio. I'm from Fremont. Matter of fact, my sister went to school here at BG, and my mother got a degree from BG, so I'm familiar with Bowling Green and grew up around here, became a Christian in 1971 during the Jesus Movement, went on to a Christian college, and a lot of other things happened in my life, went on to seminary in Philadelphia, Westminster Seminary in Philadelphia, and became a Presbyterian pastor, and I heard that the church had some Presbyterian connections way back at the beginning. But my main focus is to preach God's word by the power of the Spirit. And so happy to be here with you this morning. And if you have your Bibles, open to John chapter 10. I'd like to read from John chapter 10, and we'll have some meditation upon God's word then this morning. John chapter 10. This is about the Good Shepherd. I think that's a well-known passage to us. So I'm going to just be speaking this morning about verses 1 through 6, but we'll read down a little further into the text. And Jesus is speaking here. He says, "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, and they know his voice, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things he spoke to them. Then Jesus said to them again, "Most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and he will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them." I could read further, but I think I'll stop there. Let's turn to the Lord in prayer and ask for him to guide and lead us in his truth this morning. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you that you led your people in days long ago by Joshua and Caleb and other men of God. Thank you, Lord, that we have Christ as our great Joshua. Yeshua is our You are our Savior. God is our Savior because salvation is of the Lord. Lord, we are here not by our own goodness, but by your grace. And we pray, Lord, that as we spend time meditating upon your word, that your Spirit would take the word and plant it in our hearts and minds. Lord, teach us to love your word even more this morning. Lord, help us to delight in it as hidden treasure and as gold and as honey. Lord, to find the treasures of your word rich for our lives. So Lord, guide us as we think about your word, as we meditate upon it, but also to be obedient in response to it. And bless your church. Bless your people here as we are gathered. In Jesus' name, amen. I grew up over near, born and raised near Fremont, and my dad decided to get some property out in the country towards Green Springs. I don't know if you ever heard of Green Springs, a little tiny place on Green Creek there. And I think my dad thought it would be great to be able to control the grass by buying some sheep. So he bought some sheep. No shepherd. I was not the shepherd. I think he bought a goat, too, to maybe help a little bit. But the sheep got out into somebody else's property. We had to go hunt them down. And anyways, it was my first experience with sheep, but certainly never a shepherd, never a farmer per se, but that was an interesting experience. This passage, of course, speaks to us about sheep, about the sheepfold, about shepherds, doorkeepers. Some of this stuff is probably familiar to us. I suppose there's some agricultural people here. But Christ is teaching more and further about himself and his ministry. We're obviously jumping into the middle of the gospel of John. The situation is the Feast of Dedication in Jerusalem, which you'll see down in verse 22. And it includes two of the great I Am statements in the gospel, because in the Old Testament, God says, I am, right? And you might say, well, what exactly does that mean? Well, Jesus answers that to some degree by saying, I am the door of the sheep in verse 7. And in verse 11, he says, I am the good shepherd. I think when I first studied this passage years ago, I thought it was just only talking about Christ. But I think he's really talking about something even more broadly. He's talking about those who are under shepherds. The Bible calls Christ the great shepherd of the sheep. And that's found in Hebrews. But those who are elders and pastors are called under shepherds. They serve under Christ. And so in one sense, Jesus is talking to us about the church. He's talking to us about the ministry. He's talking to us about pastors and how they should function. And he also warns us about bad pastors, what we would call false pastors. And he talks about his sheep, which is every one of us here who are Christians. If you're a Christian this morning, you're a sheep. Maybe you're a younger Christian, then you would be a lamb, right? Remember, Jesus at the end of his ministry said to John, he said, feed my sheep, feed my lambs. And I think the beauty of the way Jesus does this is such a contrast to the world around us, right? Today we have people telling us what to do in positions of authority, people who are kind of petty dictators or maybe great dictators, and people would like to rule the world and tell everyone what to do, right? And you're supposed to listen to me, and you're not supposed to think. And maybe even in church sometimes we have people who are somewhat like dictators. But Jesus is the model and the teacher of what true leadership should be all about, right? Whether you're a father, whether you're an elder, you could even apply it to your business. I know that's a further down the line. But the idea of pastoral leadership is a beautiful, you know, it's a metaphor. This is a great metaphor, talking about sheep, animals, shepherds, these kinds of things. Again, you may or may not have experience with that. But Jesus applies it to himself and to those who are sent by him. He begins by saying in verse 1, most assuredly, or in the older style, truly, truly, I say to you, this is an important statement, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. You would wish maybe he would start with the verse where he says, I'm the good shepherd, right? But no, he starts with a problem. And sometimes we need to understand the problem to see the importance of the solution, right? So he uses this imagery of the sheepfold, which is actually kind of a structure where the sheep are contained, particularly at night, before they go out to eat and so forth. There's a lot of predators on the sheep. And we as Christians, there are people who want to feed upon the sheep. There are people who want to draw us away. And so he's going to talk about the dangers, particularly of false shepherds. And so the flock of God is really the church. Ezekiel 34 says, you are my flock, the flock of my pasture. You are men, and I am your God. In Acts chapter 20, Paul says, therefore, speaking to the elders, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. So the church belongs to God. The church belongs to Christ. This is a great image in the Old Testament and also in the New Testament. And going all the way back to Moses and David, you know, God often chose shepherds, interestingly enough, people who were experienced in that era. And he made them shepherds of his people. And so whether it's in the Old Testament or the New Testament, God calls those who minister to his sheep, to his sheepfold, shepherds. And I think it's correct to say elders are shepherds. Elders are pastors. Pastors are elders. And Christ here, I think, without introducing the full detail here, he says, I say to you, whoever does not enter the sheepfold, that is that area, structure where the sheep are being protected by the door, but climb in through some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. Who's the door? How do you get into the, you know, you got to walk through the door. I don't know exactly where is it over here. but to get into the in the building, you don't climb through the window. You don't climb some other way. You need to come in typically through the front door, and that way you can control who comes in. We as a nation seem to not care about who comes into our country these days. You come in any way you like. I guess there's no door. But, you know, to protect your family, protect the church, we need to have doors and we need to lock them and we need to be careful who's coming in and who's going out. And Jesus cares about that because behind whatever is said here in chapter 10 is the care of the good shepherd, right? Christ cares for his sheep. I know you're without a pastor right now, but in one sense, Christ is our great pastor. He's the great shepherd of the sheep, you know. So we're never left, you know, abandoned. Sometimes we feel that way. But, you know, the Lord cares for us. The Lord provides for us. The Lord will provide for all of your needs. Christ is also the great pastor of pastors. I think that's a good thing because you think pastors need someone to help them too. And I think Christ is also the pastor of pastors. So when it says that that the person has to come through the door, they have to come through Christ. Christ is the way to enter into the kingdom of God, whether you are a member of the church, but especially if you are a shepherd or a pastor, you need to come through Christ. Christ needs to be the key to your ministry in terms of submission to him, and he's going to delineate that in a few seconds. He also describes these false pastors, I think is the best way to describe them, as those who have come in some other way than by the door, and they say these are thieves and robbers. Look down at verse 10. It says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. Well, I've served as a pastor for many years, and I've seen a lot of stealing, killing, and destroying among God's people. You know, with the internet and with heresy and with all kinds of stuff, the heretics are proliferating their heresies like a flood against the church. The church is often victimized by error. And one of the things that is important for me is to teach sound doctrine and to teach the scriptures and to teach discernment and to help God's people, you know, avoid the dangers that surround us. In the days that Jesus ministered, it was the Pharisees. They came in sheep's clothing, and yet inwardly they were what? Wolves. Well, wolves and sheep, not a great combination. I was watching this rabbit in my garden last night. I thought, you better not go near the things I just planted. Wasn't quite a wolf, but, you know, I'm concerned about, there's another squirrel that's looking at stuff too, so I don't know. Anyways, the Old Testament is filled with warnings against false prophets. It's filled with warnings. I have some quotations, but I think I'll pass those by. Maybe I'll refer to a few of those. But there's a lot of warning that God gives against the false shepherds and how they actually don't feed the sheep. They don't care about the sheep. They actually stuff the sheep in their mouths and eat them. That's the wrong thing you're supposed to do. So there are people who go to seminary or who are ordained to the pastoral ministry, and yet they ravage and they destroy and steal from the church of God. And if it wasn't for Christ, the great head of the church, would there even be a church here in this place right now? No. I heard it's the oldest church in Wood County, so that's good. The Lord has maintained and preserved it. So what are the marks of true and false shepherds? Well, the false shepherd is identified here as someone who does not go through the door, so they're unregenerate people. And people think just because you're a pastor, you must be a Christian. Back in the days of the Great Awakening, I don't know if you heard of that, prior to the founding of our country, one of the preachers of the Great Awakening wrote a really controversial sermon. It was very powerful, called The Danger of an Unconverted Ministry. Oh, that created some people very upset. But there are people who are theologians and Christian leaders and pastors who are unregenerate, who are unbelievers. These people, secondly, also are not properly prepared or trained. Maybe they did go to a seminary, but they weren't trained by Christ. You have to be trained by Christ to be a pastor. I went to seminary, and seminary is good. It has some good parts. But you have to be trained by Christ. I remember the sermon I first preached at this congregation I retired from last fall. They say, how did you learn how to preach that sermon? I said, well, it took me 20 years, 30 years of Christ teaching me, because it's not something you learn in a book per se. False pastors also do not have a proper calling. They're not really called of Christ. They might be even called by a church. They might deceive people in the church. And that's why you need elders, sound elders. They're also without proper ordination. Sometimes people ordain themselves, or they don't have proper ordination. The work of false pastors is they teach destructive heresies. That's what it says in 2 Timothy 2:1. It says, but there will also be false prophets among you, even as there were false teachers. It says, but there were also false prophets among the people, that's the Old Testament, even as there will be false teachers among you who will secretly bring in destructive heresies. It's the duties especially of the elders to guard the flock of God so that we might be taught the Word of God. Because if you go to the grocery store and buy a bunch of junk food, right, or you mix in some bad things into that, you could get sick and your body could start to have problems. And so our purpose as pastors and elders, our desire, our deepest desire, is to feed God's sheep with the word of truth. Sound doctrine, healthy food, how many of you mothers are going to put junk food on the plates of your children? No, you're not going to do that. You're going to prepare a good, healthy meal. And that's what we try to do, is to prepare a meal of sound truth. Now, let's move away from the false pastors. We could say a lot more about them and how they end up destroying the church, dividing the church. Let's talk about true pastors, because I think that's the main focus here. Verse 2. I tend to be a little long on the beginning, so bear with me. I could preach for 2 hours. How many people want 2 hours? No. I think somebody was in despair back there. I'm not preaching for 2 hours. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. I think that certainly can refer to Christ in some ways, but because he is the door, therefore, he's probably referring to those who are pastors in the church in the future. Of course, in the past as well. So the man who is properly qualified and is accepted by the doorkeeper, look at verse 3, it says, to him the doorkeeper opens and the sheep hear his voice. They're happy that he's there, right? They recognize him, but there's a doorkeeper. There's this mysterious doorkeeper that opens the door. I was thinking about that. I thought, who's the doorkeeper? I think it's God. I think it's God who opens the door. Because I look at my life and I say, how did I become a pastor? Because I worked in graphic design and website design for a while, and then I became a pastor and so forth. It's a long story, but you know, the Lord worked it. The Lord sovereignly calls people into ministry, whether you're elders, whether you're deacons. He gives us places to serve. He gives us work to do. But it's the doorkeeper who really regulates the access to the flock of God, because it's his flock, right? We've been purchased body and soul by our faithful Savior. We don't belong to ourselves, right? We belong to him, right? Therefore, we're supposed to serve him. Do our mouths belong to him? Do our ears belong to him? Do our feet belong to him? And our hands? Everything belongs to him, right? And so therefore we should serve him with gladness in all that we do. Not always easy, right, Chris? I hear some stories. So our work is not always easy. Our circumstances are not always easy. But God cares for us. Behind all this, the sheep and shepherd and so forth, God provides Christ for us. Think about that. He sent the great shepherd of the sheep to lay down his life for us. That's a mark of a true shepherd, right? To lay down your life for the sheep. What happens to the hireling? He's running down the road. You know, he's thinking about himself. So here, the doorkeeper opens to the true pastor. The true pastor, by contrast, is a regenerate man, someone who's truly born again, who's believed in the gospel. By the way, if you've not trusted in the gospel of Christ, I urge you to embrace Christ by faith. To say that I'm a sinner, I have nothing in myself to bring, only to the cross do I cling. That is, Christ and his righteousness needs to become mine. I'm not a righteous person. I'm not the kind of person I should be. But through Christ, I can be forgiven, and I can be accepted through Christ, and I can be brought into reconciliation with God. There's a lot more to be said, but that's something of the gospel. And certainly, we're called ministers of the gospel. We're supposed to preach the word of God. We are to proclaim God's word. And therefore, we need a call from Christ. There's also a call from the church. The church has a role to play in calling a man to the ministry. I think you all know about that. A true pastor is also prepared both spiritually and intellectually by Christ. He has the right gifts, and he's ordained by existing officers. You don't just say, well, I think I'll become a pastor today. But God verifies, God identifies, and God provides. Now, what's the ministry of a true shepherd? Well, you see that in verse 3 and 4. And really, there's two things mixed together here, is the ministry of a true pastor, but also the response of the sheep. Let's listen to that again. To him, the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Now, these are very simple things. These are not complex issues, and yet, in simplicity, sometimes there's the great profundity of truth, right? We need to grasp these things and hold on to them and not say, well, that's very simple stuff. No, in simplicity is often the truth that we need to really hold deeply in our hearts. Now, what's a ministry of a true pastor, a true elder? Well, the first thing that we here, besides the sheep hearing his voice, is he calls his own sheep by name. And I did a look into this, and there's a book in which there's a reference to a person who went to Greece, and he said that he met this man. He said he informed me that the sheep obeyed the shepherd when he called them by their names. This morning, I had the opportunity of verifying this truth about this remark. Passing by the flock of sheep, I asked the shepherd the same question, which I put to his servant. He gave me the same answer. I bade him call one of the sheep. He did so and instantly left its pasture and its companions and ran up to the hands of the shepherd with signs of pleasure and with prompt obedience. Now, I never had that experience, but I assume that's truth. The sheep hears the voice and runs to the shepherd. That's a beautiful picture. Recognizing, responding to the voice. And in some senses, when you think about it, pastoral leadership, the leadership of elders, is usually through words, is it not? That's why the Bible puts a great weight upon what we say. It says, let not many of you be teachers, because we all stumble in what we say. You have to be very careful what you say. I have to be very careful what I say, because I can't just say whatever I think or whatever I feel. I have to be bound by the Word of God. What the Word of God says is what I must give to you, because it's not me who is the source of truth, but rather God himself, right? So God ministers to you through me by his grace, if I am faithful to him. So a true pastor then calls the sheep by name. There's a personal relationship there. There has to be that personal connection, that understanding of people's unique identity, gifts, and abilities. Secondly, a true pastor leads out the sheep from that enclosure and feeds them. And maybe that's where a lot of things are going wrong in the church today. There's not a lot of feeding taking place. Now, he can't just, as a pastor, just give you candy. You probably want candy. Maybe you could go for the Hostess snowballs. My son and I drove from California. He says, why'd you buy that, you know? Because I just like that, you know? I don't buy them anymore. Just, it's kind of the Hostess snowball. Not good nutrition. But the idea of feeding the sheep, giving them what they need. That's our duty, is to encourage you, to build you up, right? And to equip you with the Word of God. So you are strengthened to serve the Lord in all the days of the week. Now, thirdly, it says that the true shepherd goes before his sheep and guides them. There has to be leadership. 1 Peter 5:3-4 says that pastors, and by the way, Peter, who was the first pope, identifies himself as the first elder, right? Or one of the elders, right? So Peter was an elder. He says, not being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. So we're not to lord it over the sheep. We're not to be dictators, but we are to be examples, right? A little message here for us who are fathers and grandfathers. Be examples to your children. Be examples to your grandchildren. Or if you have great-grandchildren, be examples to them. We are called upon as Christians to be examples to those around us, as Christ is an example to us. Now, finally, I just want to talk about the response of Christ's sheep to these shepherds, and we'll not spend a lot of time on this. But there's a number of important things that we need to consider here in verse 4, for example. Verse 4 says, and when he brings out his own sheep, that's the true pastor, he goes before them and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. So the first thing about sheep, and that's really talking about us now, we're not talking about pastors so much at this point, we're talking about every one of us in this room. We listen to the voice of true pastors. They say, oh, that sounds dangerous. Well, that's why pastors, elders, which I identify as the same office, why we have great responsibility to speak only the Word of God and to speak it faithfully and truly, because God is going to bring us into account, because it is not us that we serve, but it is Him and the church. We are called upon to be servants, right? Jesus says, as I washed your feet, right? You're supposed to wash the feet of the disciples. So there is this servant mentality that Jesus keeps trying to bring into His church. And you know, there are people in the church who want to become more leaders and, you know, CEOs or something like that, the senior pastor or something like that. The sheep pastors, because they speak the Word of God. In fact, there's a lot about this that I could say in terms of the identification of Scripture. Why do we even have this Bible? You know, in the last number of years, decades, people have said, oh, there was a church council and they put these books on that table and they put these books on this table and that's why we have the Bible. That's not true at all. The reason why we have the Bible is because the church collectively has heard the voice of the Savior. And if you're a Christian, you hear the voice of Christ speaking to you if you're studying the Bible. By the way, I hope you're studying the Bible every day. I hope I am. We need to be reading the Bible, memorizing the Bible, meditating upon the Bible, day and night, right? And so we hear the voice, like the Bereans, we check the Scriptures daily and say, was that sound preaching? Doesn't mean we have the right to do that all by ourselves, but we hear the voice of true pastors and we recognize the voice of Christ and we listen to the Word of God, and notice also, they follow the leadership of these pastors. Not easy to follow sinful people, right? So you should only have one pastor and one elder, right? No, not a good idea. A plurality of men is always the biblical model, but it's also wise. Because sometimes pastors, elders may get out of orientation, so we, like iron sharpens iron, we help each other stay on track. And you need to pray for pastors, you need to pray for elders, pray for deacons, but also to follow them. In other words, when they give spiritual leadership, to listen and to follow that advice. And then finally, there should be a very negative response to false pastors. Listen to verse 5 again. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Well, I hope that's true of you. If you hear the voice or the teaching of a false pastor, or you're listening to a podcast or some video or something somewhere, reading a book, I see people read certain books and I go, that's probably not a good choice. The sheep hear that voice and they don't really recognize that voice. I have that same experience. I pick up theology books and I go, this is a strange book. I go, what is this guy talking about? I know he's a heretic. And other people are saying, oh, he's a wonderful theologian and all this stuff is great. And yet I listen to it and I go, this is lies. It's deception. It's confusion. So my purpose in my life is to say, what is the sound, faithful, consistent teaching of Scripture? How can I be used of God to help guide people in the pathway that leads to life and to oppose those who are trying to destroy and subvert the truth through their deception? Not only do they not recognize the voice, and I like this, and I hope this is true of all of us, they flee from them. Now, everybody's supposed to be a person of love who's a Christian, right? Because love is the only thing that we talk about, right? I don't know much about you all, but in some Christian circles, it seems like love is everything. And we're supposed to love heretics, and we're supposed to love deceivers and liars and people who destroy the church. No, we're not. I mean, we can love them in certain ways. But if someone's being destructive of your marriage or your family or your nation, you should oppose that. If someone's destructive of the church, you should oppose that. Primarily the job of pastors and elders, but also the sheep have a role to play and say, I'm not listening to that. And you run in the opposite direction. Flee is not, oh, I think I'll dilly-dally here and listen to this for a while. No, we need to flee. And it all has to do with the voice. And the voice is really the Word of God. If we are in agreement with the Word of God, this is the standard of truth. I can't emphasize that enough. The church must be regulated by the Word of God. Preaching must be regulated by the Word of God. Our lifestyle must be regulated by God's Word. Our marriage, our family life, how you do your banking, what you watch. Everything must be regulated by the Word of God. You young people, I think we have young people here. Are you interested in the Bible? And if you're not, you might want to ask the question, why? Maybe you're not a sheep. Because, and here's a warning, at least for some of the younger people, I'm not trying to say only negative things here, but in verse 6, Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. There's some people who don't understand what Jesus is talking about. They say, I don't get it. I hear this preacher and I don't know what that's all about. Sunday school class, Bible stories. You need to ask yourself a question. Am I a follower of Christ? And you need to come to him in prayer and say, Lord, where am I before you? Maybe I need to get down before I go to sleep at night and pray to God and ask for him to work in my heart and to give me the light of the knowledge of the truth. Because not only are there false shepherds, there are false sheep. And the Old Testament talks about the big fat sheep, you know, pushing the other sheep and grabbing the water, and then they muddy the water with their hooves and all that type of stuff. I hope there's no one like that around here. And there may be, or may have been. But we need to be true sheep, following the true shepherd. And so there's such a wealth of knowledge and insight, and I have passages from Jeremiah and Ezekiel that I would read, but I think I'll just leave. I'll give you one from Jeremiah, which is a beautiful passage. This is Jeremiah 23:3. And God is talking about this matter. He says, "But I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries where I have driven them." So God's people are called the flock. "And I will bring them back to their folds, and they shall be fruitful and increase. I will set up shepherds over them who will feed them, and they will fear no more, nor be dismayed, nor shall they be lacking, says the Lord. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will raise up to David a branch of righteousness. A king shall reign and prosper and execute judgment and righteousness in the earth. In his days, Judah will be saved, and Israel will dwell safely. Now this is the name by which he will be called, the Lord, our righteousness." That can be none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, and thank God that he gave us not just some person that is divine, but someone who was completely human, right? Jesus is God and man in one person, the second person of the Trinity. 100% God, 100% man in one person, that is the Son of God. Now, if you can understand that, let me know. Because I'm still thinking about it. But isn't that an amazing thing that God has come down in human flesh and dwelt among us and taken upon himself our nature? He understands our problems. He understands our families also. He understands our job circumstances. He understands our relationships. And by the way, Colossians says, all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden in Christ. How many treasures? Economic? Artistic? Political? Yeah, all the treasures. If you want to figure things out and find answers for the problems in your life and the things that you face, how am I going to deal with this problem? How am I going to deal with that relationship? Christ has the answer to your problem. And I'm not saying that that's easy to find out. You need to search the scriptures. You might need to buy some Christian books. You might need to go to a conference or get some pastoral advice. But if you want to follow Christ, and I strongly urge every one of us, I encourage myself, let us follow Christ daily, right? Take up our cross daily and follow him. Take up the difficulties of life, that's the cross, the difficulties and struggles of the cross, and follow Christ. He gives us a burden, but he says, my burden is light. God, and I've been a Christian for over 50 years, God does not overburden us. Sometimes it seems like that. Sometimes it feels like that. But God cares for his sheep. And I think that's really what's behind this whole dynamic, as I said previously, is it is Christ who is the great shepherd of the sheep. That's further in our text. But I'm going to leave you with just the beautiful statement from Psalm 23, which we all know. The Lord is my shepherd, right? I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's pray. Gracious